Hello.
Hello.
And welcome back to
episode 2 of Rule
the Rich. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. And you've got Cornish and you've got
Connor.
That's right. And yeah, we're here to talk about we're going to make business great again.
Make business great again 2025.
First order of business. Pun intended. We told you that we would inform you of any updates we had to our following. I was watching last week as we gained followers and as we gained listeners and as they kind of came in, I was just watching along and, I actually Googled what the normal, rate is, I guess, or what a normal podcast should have follower, like view wise. They call them downloads. They're referred to as downloads with a podcast. But yeah, just think views. But anyways, a normal podcast after their first episode, within the first 7 days, if they hit 30 downloads or more, it's considered to be in the top 50% of all podcasts.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we are pleased to announce that in the first 7 days of our first episode, we are at 201 downloads. So... We were very surprised and we were very happy and we can't thank you enough for all your kind words. We've had way more than we thought as far as good responses go. People have been emailing us. People have been direct messaging either Connor or myself or our Instagram page and just saying how much they've been inspired. It's truly amazing.
Thinking about giving up and dropping their business. Yeah. They listen to our podcast and they turn their motivation up to like 100.
Oh, it's so amazing.
So keep sending those DMs in, guys, because we love
to see
it.
Yeah, we do love them.
This is what we're doing it here for.
Comment on our posts if you want to. You know, email us. Our email is toruletherich@gmail.com. That's R-U-R-A-L, by the way. And we love it. And if there's anything that you want us to kind of touch base on that, you know, you have some anonymous questions or anything like that you want us to answer, feel free to let us know. We'd love to. But we have also done some work since the last one. We just spent, we got here at 1:00. It's now 2:00. So once again, we spent another hour before we started.
Messing around.
But hopefully the sound is better this time. We've changed some things there.
Hopefully I'm a little bit quieter in your ears. Oops.
Or just turn your volume down. The other thing is we have a link tree now in our bio on, should be all social media, except I'm not sure about TikTok. TikTok was giving us some issues. But we do have, you can kind of follow along and see all the different platforms we're on.
And I keep getting the same question. Where can I listen to the podcast? Literally everywhere, okay?
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we're on YouTube. YouTube has a little bit of a visualizer there. iHeartRadio, they have a podcast section. There were a few that weren't working, but as far as that goes, like all the big ones were on. So, you know, there's all kinds of like these little ones that I've never heard of before, but our distributor does distribute to all these different little ones. I think we're on 13 different platforms or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Just Google us, man, or whoever you are, just Google it. Type in to rule the rich and
again, R-U-R-A-L.
R-U-R-A-L, that's right. Now, in our link tree, you can click buy us a coffee, and it's like the smallest one's like $5. It just goes into more podcast upgrades. Like we just decided we're going to get a headphone splitter so that we can all have headphones
and,
which you're
and
supposed listen to have, but but we're doing the poor man's version. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess if you like what you hear, feel free to buy us a coffee or buy us a beer, I guess. We should change it, buy us a beer. Yeah. So that's kind of the updates this week. We do have a sponsor, actually, Connor, believe it or not.
Which
we have a sponsor.
Amazing.
It is amazing. We're going to get into that later in the episode. So you have to keep listening. You don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
So we're overjoyed. It's our second episode. We already have sponsorship and just the turnout has been amazing and a lot of people said don't give up. So you can't get rid of us that fast. Guess what, we're still here.
It's not like a one and done deal with us. Sorry guys.
That's right. So, Connor, do you want to start or I'll start?
Oh, you can start, I guess.
I just got off the 401, actually, like literally right before we got to the shop. I was in Caledon this morning doing a site survey for some security cameras for a company, which is really cool. It's an event company. They do all kinds of like equestrian stuff and things like that. So that's really cool. And turns out, guess what? The 401 was annoying. It's funny. I was going to say on here, someone asked me once, they're like, how do you actually just do the 401 all the time? And I was like, okay, I'm going to give you one little piece of advice. And if you, as long as you keep this in your head, you will be a 401 pro navigator for the rest of your life. And I'm like, what is it? And I was like, ready? I was like, everyone's an idiot on the 401. Yep. If you keep that in your mind, you'll never be let down. Yep. You will be great.
Exactly.
You will love the 401 from now on.
Yep.
As long as you just picture every, like, nobody is on that 401 to help you. There's nobody coming for you. Nope. Nobody's there to help you out. You are on your own. And if you just remember that and get it in your head that anybody at any moment could do something sporadic and maybe kill you, you'll be all right because you're expecting it. So you'll be like, oh, and then you'll just, you'll,
and bang,
you'll,
you're like, oh, it's okay. I seen it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It just, keep your reactions, like, you know, be on the lookout. Okay. But no, the big thing today I wanted to kind of touch on was, customer service.
Yes.
Connor said something about me being really big on customer service on our last episode, on the pilot last week. And I really do want to get into that because you can charge whatever you want for whatever business you have. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. I don't know what fair price is for you. You can argue it to me all day long and I can argue to you, you know, why my prices are the way they are. But I've seen it happen so many times where, there'll be a company that charges maybe, let's use some numbers here. Let's say this company A provides a service for $300. And their customer service is like kind of shitty, but they do good work. So I keep paying them $300 for that service. You know, whether it's detailing your car, whatever, I don't know. Then company B comes along and they're like, hey, I noticed that, you know, you have this service already taken care of and hired out, but we also have this same service and we charge it at $350. Well, the company that's hiring, or we're using me, I'm the person who is hiring. I look at that and I say, okay, $350. That's more than what I'm paying and pretty much for the same thing.
Yep.
But then, you know what, I keep working with this other company A, and I realize that, you know what, they're kind of jerks, and they think they know, they treat me like garbage, and they treat me like they know more about it than I do, so therefore I don't have a say, or things like that.
Yep.
And because company B was so friendly on the phone, I'm not going to switch all my products to them, or all my, I'm not going to go with them fully, but let's do a test run. So you hire company B to come in, company B does the work. They actually do the same amount of perfect workmanship. If not, maybe they do a little bit better. It's $350 though. It's significantly more.
Yeah.
But they asked you throughout the course, you know, like, is this how you like the service to be done? Is this what you know, how is this? And they do it perfectly. It's amazing. It's amazing work. But of course it's more, but the difference is they treated, you know what? And another big thing with customer service, it's not always just about treating people. Did they respond?
Like, yeah, right.
Once when their service was done and you want them to come back, did they follow up with you or things like that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't always follow up with my clients, but I do every once in a while just send an email and say, hey, How's everything working? Right? Like, and it's not like the next day. It's usually like, I don't know, 6 months later or something. You just check in, you know, like,
and that goes a long way and everybody realizes that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge factor in what you do. Like, for example, a mechanic shop, you know, you're fixing cars all day. And I mean, you hear it time and time again. And I know Connor's like looking at me like, don't, what are you going to say? My dad's a mechanic. But no, you hear it time and time again, you know, oh, I went to the mechanic shop. They just treat me like they know way more about my car than I do. So I just pay them whatever.
And the biggest thing is, well, the biggest, I guess, what the hell's the word I'm looking for here, buddy? Help me out. It's, oh, a stereotype, okay? The biggest stereotype for mechanic shops is you don't ever want to be a young girl going in there because apparently you get thrown around and treated like garbage and disrespected and paid for stuff that, sorry, didn't mean to hit the mic there, but you pay for stuff that you didn't need to get done or you get walked all over and talked to differently, right?
Yeah, and like, I guess it is a little stereotypical, but to be honest, it's usually, I don't think it's you being the stereotyper. I think the stereotyping comes from the individuals that are doing that. You know what I mean? That are seeing something and making a judgment call based on appearance and then throwing that price at them or telling them all the things that they need done. Right. Whereas they see a different one, you know, I guess typically, let's look at the statistics here, you know, typically a male figure and they say, oh, you know, but it's not necessarily a male figure. It could just be a younger male, like a 20-year-old guy versus a 60-year-old guy.
Yep.
The numbers are all different, but yeah, no, you're right. And it's terrible. And it's terrible that we live in that world. And, I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Go back to what you were saying though, like with the mechanic shops.
And... like if you had, you know, mechanic A and mechanic B, but mechanic B was a little bit more, but they, you know, they said, hey, you know what? You don't actually need to fix this. I'm just telling you that this is the diagnostic I have done on the vehicle. You can pay it. You don't have to. It's not that important. Instead of forcing you and yelling at you and just making you feel down or even, talking down to you, I guess, is what I want to say.
Or even for the future, like say if it's a repeat customer, like my dad and I have.
That's a great segue. Repeat business.
We have this farmer that comes back all the time, and I just cleaned his truck, actually. Go check it out on the business page of mine there. We'll get into that later. Stay tuned. but yeah, like we always tell him, hey man, like this is getting worn out, so maybe next time you're in, you might want to look to buy that part, or you might want to look into having a bigger price on your bill just because that part is going to be faulty next time you're back, right?
Yeah.
And that's, a lot of mechanics won't do that, or they won't say anything, or they'll just replace it without even talking to the customer. And then you get the surprise bill of, say, $300 more or whatever it may be. And it's a kick in the ass.
Sure is. but I like that you kind of dove into that repeat business. And this falls directly with customer service. If you treat your client like they're the most important client, even though you have 500 clients, as long as you treat every client as if they're the only client.
Exactly.
Oh, you didn't put your phone on D&D.
Oh, there we go.
Oopsie. but yeah, like repeat business, I would say, and you know what? You can ask a lot of business owners that are successful and they will tell you, they should tell you the same thing. And that is that repeat business is should be your number one goal, because eventually you're going to run out of new clients.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's only so many people in the world.
I was just going
to
say that, yeah.
I mean, obviously, probably not. But it's a good way to look at it, because it just humbles you down and it reminds you that, you know what, I could lose this client. And the thing is, if you lose one client, okay, negative comments go way further than positive comments. I know it sucks, but it's true. Okay, this is the No Bullshit Podcast. We're delivering you the info that we know from experience. Negative comments, whether it's a bad Google review or a bad Facebook, whatever, it doesn't matter. They go way further and they just do way more damage. So if you hurt one customer, or if you lose one client due to something that you have faulted or you've treated them improperly, they're going to go, I know you can totally hear my breathing on here, but no, they're totally going to go to all of their friends, all of other businesses, and say, hey, this business screwed me over, or this business treated me poorly. And then guess what? All those people or individuals are going to say, oh my goodness, like I don't want to take my vehicle there. I don't want them to do that service for me, because they're dicks, you know? And so it just, you have to be really conscientious of, as being a business owner, as a business owner, to make sure that you're doing what you need to do to keep the clients you have, because they're your support pillars,
exactly.
Guys. Like, if you think about it, without them, you have nothing. You're a nobody. You're a loser business. You're,
and remember, you guys are there for the customer. Yeah, like yeah. The whole point, and, right?
Oh, great point, Connor. That's the big thing I always tell Connor when we're on a job, when we're doing tech stuff. I mean, it applies to all business, but Connor usually works with me doing tech installs. So I just want to make a point of saying, like, the first thing I say to him is, we are not in this business to screw over our clients. We are in this business to help them, our clients. And if we screw them over, number one, they're probably not going to come back. But number two, if you're overbilling them and...
Just because you didn't say have enough work for that week before, and then you charge this customer that little bit more to make up for that past week, that isn't okay. Like, and then they'll notice that, and they'll ask questions, and then they'll start mabbing or flabbing, I mean, and then they'll start talking, like Horner said, and word of mouth is bigger than whatever. And spinning back a little bit, sorry. The biggest thing is, it sucks, but it's reality. People like to pick the bad more than the good out of things. So
it's true.
Unfortunately.
But no, like what I try to say to Connor, and I know he understands, like we both get it. It's just, we just talk about this all the time, but it's that, there's so much potential business out there for you and your business. So there's no need to screw over. And by screw over, we mean overcharge ridiculously. For a business that is just trying to also provide business to other people, you know, and this goes back to it. We very, very lightly touched on it in the last episode, I think, but we said something about how we go in to do tech installs, and this applies to any business, not just tech installs. That's our best example, but we'll go in there and we'll see a whole bunch of equipment that's been installed. And honestly,
unnecessary.
There's a specific place I think we're thinking of.
Yep.
The one farm, and we went in there and there was so much equipment. And
just to tell you, sorry, Cornish. What? We took out, I think it was almost 10 routers, and we only put in two.
Yeah. A handful of them.
Yeah. It was a whole box, and we only put two back in.
And for those that are deep into the technology world who want to know what it was, they were actually routers, not access points. These were routing devices that were like consumer grade Walmart routers that were just placed all throughout the farm, all coming
every
off of a main
house,
router.
Every barn.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
It was crazy.
And then there was some point-to-point technology that wasn't even being used. And the client actually told me, he's like, the guy we had before you guys just kept showing up, billing us, and then leaving, and then it wouldn't work. And then he'd show up again, he'd bill us, and then leave.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Also paying for plans that... Well, he was paying for those access points and the bills for those, like monthly plan or whatever.
I don't know how that was structured.
It doesn't even fucking work. So
I just know that he kept showing up and billing them, and he was telling me this, and I said, yeah, by the time we leave, we shouldn't be back unless you want to add on to the system you know, something, whatever. There's like physical damage that happens. There's, you know, fire, flood, whatever. I don't know, but. We haven't been back there since.
Nope.
Which, of course, is in our last episode, we talked about no news is good news. And obviously, like, we have some remote stuff, so we can kind of monitor remotely and just make sure technology's still up and running. And we get, like, I get notifications if there's stuff. But that's not really what I'm trying to talk about. The point is, if you just do a good job, people will actually remember that. And I know we haven't been back. I mean, if you look at it the other way, the other guy was making more because he was like just constantly showing up and charging.
Yeah.
But you are what's the word I'm looking for? You're depreciating and devaluing your customer to client or your customer to a business relationship.
Yeah.
And I would say that's more important because now if they ever build another building or expand on their farm or their business, they're going to call me and they're going to say, hey, I know you know everything about our system. You put it in.
Yeah. You're not going to like run extra wires or cables or put extra stuff for me to pay for.
And you know what? It has been worth it because they have recommended us to other businesses and farms. So we're not exactly doing that very spot, but they were always in the back of their mind and they will continue to recommend to other businesses. And then those businesses will, of course, also recommend. It kind of grows exponentially. As long as you don't harm one of them, if you harm one of that web it's literally a web. You are going, that word spreads, you know, business owner to business owner. And now guess what? Nobody likes you. You're
exactly.
a dick.
Exactly. Yeah. Basically, if you, well, for example, that farm that we fixed up there and took all the routers out of, and we made it work properly with minimal equipment.
Yeah.
We basically, well, I don't know how it worked, but he had to have had one of his friends come over and see his Wi-Fi or get hooked up to his Wi-Fi and all the stuff that, all the work that we did, and say that's all it needs, or a man cave and the Wi-Fi we do in a man cave in the garage, or, yep. or anything like that, man. Like, you know what I mean? And then that guy has his buddies over. Oh, who did all your work in here? And then we get mentioned, yep. and then that's more business, right? On top yep. of business, right? It's just a repeat cycle if you do it properly and you care enough.
Yep. Actually, the place I just went up to today was the site survey I did in Caledon was actually a recommend. Well, it's the same company as the one that Connor and I actually just went and did an install on the weekend. They got a new rack, new cabling. We actually moved from point A to point B. So we added extra cabling, but we moved it all to a new, more environmentally friendly location, which not as in like friendly to the environment, more like the environment being friendly to the equipment. And already, you know, here's an important thing. At an appropriate level, build an outside of work relationship with your client, not at an inappropriate level. Just things like, hey, like, how's life? You know,
yeah.
like, how's the family doing? You know, things
small
like
talk.
That. Small talk, right? And I'm actually now, I know the contact that I have for that business, great guy. I know, like, you know, he tells me about his family every once in a while. I check in, I say, how's it going? And then they remember you for how you treated them and how kind you were, and that, you know what?
Just a little personal connection makes sense.
Yeah, a personal
connection. It makes the huge difference.
Huge. And so, yeah, now they kind of root for me for, you know, obviously they get quotes from other businesses just to make sure that everyone's kind of staying in the same ballpark, but there's a personal connection now. So they're more, they want to go to what feels safe, what feels like home, what feels like normal. And so now that's kind of us,
yep.
right? So we did take some pictures of our work and email them to them, and they loved it. They said, oh my goodness, we love the way you ran the cabling. It looks so neat and tidy. We love the way it looks on the wall. The rack, it just looks amazing. And I actually said to them on the phone, I said, there may be a little bit more charged for the time it took to make that look pretty. But
yep.
I said, the important thing to take away from that is, I said, it will now take less time and money to troubleshoot any future issues because it's so easy to find. It's not a rat nest. It's not a bunch of cables. It'll take like 5 seconds to find an issue. Be like, oh, a rat chewed through something. There it is.
Literally, you know, laying there under the frickin'
yeah.
case we moved. And the cables, guys, they weren't zip tied. They weren't bundled up at all. They were like 10-foot cables just crossed over each other, tied up, and we moved it from on the ground. And the last person, I don't know who did it, it doesn't matter besides the point, whoever did the last job there left it like that, first of all, on the floor, the cables like that, and they didn't even plug the fans in.
Yeah.
And so we basically moved it from a dusty like a storage barn into an office that's used for the events and all of the placements and medals and all the files and everything, right? And it doesn't look like an eyesore in the office now. It looks neat and tidy and well kept.
And like, I don't want to get too far into it just due to like confidentiality and stuff. But basically, and I also don't want to talk too poorly about other businesses just because it's poor practice. But Connor's right. Like it wasn't optimal, and we made it optimal. We made it look much cleaner.
Yep.
And the client is really happy with it, and that's why we of course got the opportunity to go and look at another site. And that is what is important. That's the important takeaway of that, is just do a good job, do what the hell you were there to hire to do. Okay, get her done, get in, get her done, get out of there, and then and just treat them nicely.
Yep.
Check in. But yeah, so I know that Connor had some points. I don't know I know that you kind of said that you had some things you wanted to touch base on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was my customer service spiel.
One thing is I had scheduled an appointment with a customer, and I had one of my employees there to greet them, there to retrieve the keys, there making small talk, because like I said, customer service, like we just talked about, make small talk. So I had my employee do that. This girl and this man, or whoever this was, lost their mind on me, called me a poor business owner, told me that I am unprofessional and that she's never coming back again, and just the whole nine yards of her talking bad about me. But my dad and I went on a fishing trip because we hadn't had a fishing trip all year.
You know why you went on a business trip? Because you can.
Yeah, exactly. And so whatever. And I, it's not like I didn't have anybody there to greet the customer and to retrieve the keys. Yep. I had somebody there that did the job, that was doing exactly what I would do. I don't need to, you don't walk into Subway and ask for the owner of the frickin' joint to be there to make your sub, do
nope,
you?
Nope, nope.
So why are you sitting here bashing me as a small business owner? I don't know. Is it because we're young?
Could it be.
What is it? It's not fair though, is what it is.
You know what? Speaking of stereotyping, and I think we just kind of said, we kind of dismissed it, but I'm moving my mic just so everybody knows. We didn't dismiss it as a thing. We were kind of looping everything in, or grouping everything as just different ways of being discriminatory.
Yep.
But you really do have to consider ageism, and you know what? It doesn't necessarily mean older people. Sometimes it's younger people.
Yeah, it can be the whole, at any age, really.
Yeah. And I will say, we are Gen Z, I do believe, you and I, Connor, and our generation has a terrible reputation right now for showing up for, first of all, customer service. That's a big issue because a lot of it's the quote, don't care vibe and or whatever.
Disrespect.
Yeah. It's a lot of entitlement is what it is.
I was just gonna say
it's brutal. And the worst part is it's my generation and I know it. Yep. I know that
it's not like we're going to sit here and say, no, that's not us.
No.
Well,
it is.
It literally is. We see it right in front of our faces every day.
Yep. I do.
I wasn't in high school, like I said, last podcast for the whole 4 years, only the two. But I did see my enough, like I seen it, yep, my amount of bullshit throughout that school.
Oh, it's
brutal. Made me not even want to be there because I felt like a nobody and I felt so low being around those people that just don't care.
Yeah.
When you have this big plan or these ideas, you know what I mean, in your life.
Yeah, and it's terrible right now, and I think I don't want to go too much because we did talk about this last time, but the labor market right now, it's funny because the way I look at it as a business owner and is that it's low. I can't find any help, but I should elaborate on that. I can't find any skilled, not even skilled help, just help that is willing to stick around and learn. Most of the help that I've tried for various different positions for each company have stuck around for the smallest amount of time possible, not even enough to really absorb any information about how to do the job
Learn anything.
Yeah.
You're basically there to just collect a month's worth of paychecks.
Yeah. So it's really tough right now to find, you know, labor really that just wants to actually stay there. And the way I see it is if you're an employee, the first thing that should be in your mind is I'm working here to make better the company I work for, to better the company I work for. And that was always honestly, I have worked not actually many different jobs in my life. I worked at a pallet manufacturing company for that's not true. My uncle is a plumber, Cornish Plumbing. And I worked for him for a few summers, in high school. And gained some insight on how to, you know, fix a toilet or how to replace one or how to replace a water heater or do HVAC, you know, things like that. And then I moved from there and I went to a pallet manufacturing company and I started there building and repairing pallets. And then they got me my forklift training and they got me working at Heights training and they paid for my my commercial tire license. And then I actually moved into their maintenance bay. My father is a millwright, and then our family friend is a trailer mechanic. So I worked with them and under them helping them just kind of as an assistant. And then I moved on from there and I became an IT, assistant, because I did have someone that was over top of me who I'm now really good friends with. I worked at a greenhouse manufacturing company for a year and I did their IT. And then that's when I decided to, just due to some management things that were done out of country, I moved from there and decided to go on my own and open Cornish Tech Solutions. All while doing the DJ thing, I started DJing when I was 12. Well, I was actually still in public school. I don't even know if you're allowed to do that, but I did it. Yeah. So screw all the rules because I did it. And that this is to go to anyone that's listening that says, I can't do anything because of this or that or that. I did have some investing. I will say my grandfather, he was a big role in helping me get on my feet. He asked me one night, he said, what do you want to do as a hobby? Because you don't have one. He's like, because you don't do sports. And I was like, no, I don't do sports. Not my thing. Not my game. And he's like, well, I think you should do something. And I was like, okay. And honestly, up until that point, I was 12 years old. And I was like, you know what? I have always wanted to DJ. I know it's crazy. But he's like, okay, well, how much would that cost? And I was like, whatever. And actually, I went online and I kind of priced out two speakers and a DJ controller and like the most minimal amount of equipment you needed. And I think it was about $1,200 at the time. I don't know if you'd be able to start for that now. It might be a little bit more. But at that time, it was $1,200. And I said, Grandpa, it's going to be $1,200. I know it's really expensive. And he goes, well, you know what? Let's invest in that. So yep. He did. And now I've grown it up to where it is now.
And I'm sure he's very proud of what that $1,200 has come from, right?
Yeah. You know, and since I've started doing that, it's been a roller coaster of what we've tried and what we've done. And, you know, now I'm producing events. We were running live events for a little while, our own events. They were jamborees. And, you know, I think the average attendance was like 80 to 100 people a month on that. And then we, just due to some stuff that was going on kind of behind the scenes there, we were like, we don't want to do that anymore. So we got out of it. And then, of course, I wanted to do event production, which I'm doing now. But no, the goal of that is it doesn't matter how old you are. I don't think a toddler is going to be able to do it, but I don't want to put them down. If your toddler is that high functioning that they can actually walk and talk and own a business, then all the power to them. But the point is, the main takeaway here is if you're 12 or 10 or whatever, if you can figure out how numbers work and how to like even just how to run a Facebook page.
Well, and, you know, plow just somebody's freaking driveway in the winter. Who cares?
There you go. Just figure out how to make money. Figure it out. You know, it's not actually that hard. I do want to say one thing. I was talking about how the labor area is really tough right now for a business owner to find someone that just wants to stay to make your company better. A lot of them, you know, a lot of people just say, I'm just here from 9 to 5. I'm just here to whatever.
Working 9 to 5.
I've actually had a handful of individuals come up to me in the past month, I would say, and tell me that there's nobody hiring right now and that that labor is really hard to find. And I got to be honest, through my head, the only thought was that's bullshit. Yeah. Like, that's all I felt. You know, obviously I was sympathetic and, you know, there's all kinds of other factors, but
I will
really
say Delhi, though, is not doing very good with that. My brother and his girlfriend went in 2 hours, man, all over Delhi to every single place that said now hiring.
Yeah.
And they delivered their paper resumes and they never got a call back.
I'm going to touch on that a little bit. I would recommend, no, obviously it's different.
Maybe they don't want a farmer to make pizzas. I don't know.
The one thing I will say, and they just told us this, we went to watch the Arkell setup at Budweiser Gardens the other day. We took a field trip last Saturday. This Saturday, the one that just passed. Yeah. We took a field trip there as part of my audio engineering class, and we just sat in the bleachers and watched the all the kind of stage crew just come in and set up all the PA equipment and the trussing and everything. And one of the individuals came up, and is kind of high up in the whole band managing and stuff, and they said, you know what, you can send a resume in for us, But we live such busy lives that you have to be persistent. If we don't respond within like a day or whatever, just send it again or email us again or call us and just keep going. And I know it's kind of tiring, but sometimes that extra nudge is what shows people that, oh, they really do want that job. They're really in it. And I'm not putting down what you said. I don't know that personal situation, but I guess a tip that we can share with them is to maybe try pushing a little harder.
Yeah.
It might not work. What you're saying could be true. Mm-hmm. That area just might not be in it right now or with it. And there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
But what we can do about that is if that area isn't working, we just have to check a different area. So if you used, for example, folks, he used Delhi, Ontario. If Delhi's not working, I live in Norwich. That's about a 30-minute drive. You can do it in shorter. but it's about a 30-minute drive. That's kind of the grand... that's me allowing extra time in there. You can do it in 30, okay? If it takes you 40, something's wrong. But there's jobs in Norwich. You know, the pallet company that I worked for growing up, they're usually hiring. We have a Tim Hortons. I know there's a Tim Hortons in Delhi. Things like that. And then if that doesn't work, like you go to different areas. But if you try 3 different towns, you ought to get one.
Yeah.
But like I said, sometimes it is that persistence that, like, because if you think about it, an email goes from top to bottom. If you catch my drift, like it. As more emails come into an inbox, your email or your resume just continues to go down, 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 down. So if it's Friday evening and you sent your resume at 5 p.m., okay, I know this as a business owner myself, that 5 p.m. emails by Monday morning is 30 emails down.
Yep.
So even if I get to it, it won't be till maybe Tuesday morning because I don't just sit at my desk and read emails all day.
No
business professional or not professional, wrong word. No person that is high up in a business, you know, like if it's an accountant or if it's an HR, no one is reading emails all day long. There's no time. You can't do that. You have other things to do. You have the things that they're actually paying you to do. Yeah, they're actually probably doing that right now. So anyways, if you think about it like that and you just picture your resume just getting shoved down and down and down, send it again. Put it right back at the top because if they keep seeing your name show up time and time again, they're going to say, holy shit, this person is so persistent. They're pissing me off. I'm going to read it. I might as well read it. Let's just get it over with. And I know it was a little annoying, but if you think about it, how appreciative are they going to be when they actually have you come in and you're professional, you're dressed to impress, as we've talked about before, you know, you just smell like a bed of roses, you know, things like that. They're just going to remember it. And they're going to say, hey, you know what? That person was on it. Like they kept emailing me. I got them in here. I loved the way that they're obviously going to fit in. Just keep that in mind. Okay. Like, come on. It's not rocket science, guys. but just be very careful about who, and this I'm not talking about Connor's thing. This is what I'm talking about, what I had started with my story. Before you complain about the labor market, make sure that you are doing everything you can to get that job. Because I can tell a whole bunch of words in one. I can sniff out a mile away someone who doesn't actually want that job. I probably won't tell it to your face. I'll be like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, let's get you, you know, we'll get you enrolled, send your resume in. But I could probably bet whether or not I know you're going to put that resume in. There are tells about someone who is just asking because they want to. Someone who just wants to collect a paycheck or basically wants you to give them a handout of cash right there on the spot and send them on their way. And just be careful of that. As an employee, this isn't advice for business owners necessarily, but as an employee who's looking for work right now, these are tips that you will probably want to use. I don't have time to hear your complaints about how the labor market's not great right now or how, if you want a job, just tell me why you're going to be great for the job and tell me I'm going to see your resume on Monday morning. That's all I want to know. And then I'll be looking for it. And when I see it, because I'm looking for labor right now, I will look at your resume. But yeah, I don't know. There's all kinds of things to do. And this isn't really a podcast about how to find work as an employee perspective. This is more of like how to find employees from a business perspective. But that's just a little tip. If you're listening, you know, if you're a student right now, I know we have a lot of student listeners in high school right now. So if you're looking, that's for you. But yeah. I'm like, it's your turn because I'm going to do the sponsor in a minute. So it's your turn to say something.
Oh, I don't know, man. Frick. Like I said, last podcast, the pilot episode, I didn't have any work coming in for the longest time. And this week has just been insane for me. Like,
it's awesome.
I've been blown away. I had to call my brother home from school. I said, hey, you want to make some money today? He's, wait, what are you doing? I said, I got three cars sitting in the driveway right now. Can you come help me, please? He's, oh, I'm on my way. I'll be home in 5.
I've done that to my brother, too.
And he was, man. And we pounded them out.
I love it.
And then I was busy Saturday as well. And then Sunday we were up and working up there. And then Monday and Tuesday I've had more cars.
That's awesome. That's where all of you that are listening, just give a clap right now, okay? We support ourselves. We support fellow business owners. You know what? Even if they're doing the same work we're doing, just give them a clap, okay? Because if you narrow it down, whether they're doing the same thing, they're doing it. They're getting it, okay? They're happy right now because they're winning, and it's okay for somebody else to have the win today.
Thanks, buddy.
It's okay. It's good. We appreciate everything that everybody does, and you know what? Today, Connor got a win.
One more thing. Yes, thank you so much, Cornish. That's honestly... I'm smiling ear to ear.
That's what we're here for.
I have a lot of customers that trust me with their vehicles overnight. Either it works better for them to drop it off the night before because the mornings are hectic, usually for everybody, or whatever, or they can't pick it up after it's done and it'll stay over at my place for a night until they can get to it in the morning and pick it up. I just want you guys to know, the people that do that, I cannot stress this enough. I keep the vehicles inside the garage. It's heated. I don't care. I say, Dad, or if it's my mom's vehicle, I'm like, out. And it's their garage. And they're like, what? I'm like, I have a vehicle here. It's not leaving or it's coming. Right? And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's my priority.
So I'm glad they support you.
But I'm like, that's good. I wanted to know that or say that everybody so that you know. I care about your vehicle, okay? I don't let it sit out in the rain or in my driveway in the dark, okay?
Oh, boy.
All right. I think it's time for the sponsor.
It is. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we say this all the time. We cannot stress this enough.
But we can't.
But we're so overjoyed. The response for this podcast has been so amazing. And the people that have responded with... We haven't even had one negative comment. We haven't. We just haven't. And... So I'm sure people are going to be like, oh, yeah, well, here it comes. You know, let's humble them a bit. Yeah. And that's fine.
And do
it's
it.
Fine. Yeah.
Do it.
We'll be all right. Believe me, I deal with a lot of shitty client discussions sometimes. So it's okay. But we the other night, I guess they were texting me on Monday. So that's when she decided to sponsor. But my past or my former public school, one of my teachers, Mrs. Elise Mackey, she texted me one night and she said, hey, what do I got to do to sponsor? And I was like, well, you know what? What are you looking for? And she's like, well, this is what I think. And she's like, I just want to support you guys because I love what you're doing and I just want you to keep going. So she did send us a little thing here. She didn't really want a huge shout out, but she just says, you don't need to be an adult to be an employer. After having side gigs myself, such as playing the flute for weddings and celebrations to help pay for my education, I knew it was important to instill a can-do attitude in my children. As a result, 11-year-old Lila is going on 2 years with her business, Lou's Key Fabbits. She makes resin letter keychains and ornaments. For her neurodivergent mind, it's the perfect task for her to hyper-focus on, be creative, and feel good while immersing herself in the making experience. She's recently started a business with her with a friend making slime. Kelvin, her 9-year-old brother, also neurodivergent, discovered that watercolor painting helped calm his big emotions and settle his brain. When that was combined with his love of reading, Kelvin Mann's Reading Buddies was born. He makes unique paintings, names them, cuts them into bookmarks, and stamps them with a Kelvin phrase such as, "It's not bedtime, it's time to read." They both sell their creations on a parent-controlled Facebook page or at local kidpreneur markets. Oh, that's so cool. I've actually never heard of that.
That's really
that's
cool.
That's awesome. I love that we're supporting the hustle in young...
Not one, but two.
Yeah,
that is
I love
so
this.
Amazing.
You can probably tell I haven't actually read this whole thing yet. such as the holiday market coming up at Blenheim District Public School in the small Oxford village of Drumbo.
Go check it out, guys.
I love Drumbo. Drumbo is really nice. I've actually DJed there. But anyways, this is not time for me. They put both their small profits back into their business or businesses and feel pride in what they create. They, too, have to deal with customers who are sometimes demanding and hard to please, and that can make it tough. But overall, their experience has been positive enough to make them want to continue creating. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
They've learned about money, the importance of packaging, when they can be creative and when they have to do what the customer wants, managing their time and talking with potential customers. And if they want something, they think about how much product they need to sell before they can afford it. Having your own business is an awesome learning experience and helps you develop grit, perseverance, and confidence. That was so well.
Great job, guys. I cannot explain how happy I am for the both of you.
Yeah, Lila and Kelvin, you got to keep doing it.
Young entrepreneurs in this world dealing with all the struggles that we've talked about and all the issues. It is amazing to see young people out there driving like that.
It's inspiring me.
Yeah, man.
I'm inspired to keep inspiring.
Keep it up.
As much as bad stuff can go further, good stuff can make a big difference. It really can. It's still powerful. It's still powerful, and it still has such a big impact. And have you seen 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they do the fist, and they're like, just keep breaking through that ceiling, man. Yeah. Just keep breaking through. It's a little bit of an obscene gesture with their hands, but the point is there. Just keep going, okay? Like, look. Lila's 11, and I think Kelvin's 9 now, and they're doing it. They're doing it. And hold on, let me make sure that I got this right. Kelvin's 9 now, which is crazy. They're getting big now. But yeah, no, that is amazing. And she said something at the end, like, you don't really have to use this if you don't want to. I just want to support you guys. Why would we support... Mrs. Mackey, why wouldn't we put that in there? That's amazing.
That's so encouraging. That speech right there, or that paragraph was awesome.
This podcast is literally about young entrepreneurship. So when we read that, it's like, I just get excited. And see, this is what I'm talking about. That's not my business. I don't even know anything about what they're doing.
But I'm excited. Round of applause for them, too.
Yeah, awesome. A clap, because you know what? They're doing it. They're getting it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just awesome. So way to go, guys. Keep it up. And who knows? Maybe you'll be a guest next season. Yes. Speaking of that, Connor and I have spoke about perhaps next season, I think. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, next season we're thinking of doing guests. Yeah, mostly business owners. I think that's what we... Or if the business owner can't make it, then what's the word I'm looking for? A representative of that business that would like to come.
A higher up. Or someone that could represent.
Because wink, wink, I think there's someone that we know that wants to represent a larger company coming in. So that's exciting. I don't know. Honestly, absolutely. I'm so excited. This is amazing. It's gotten, it's funny because I just got back off the 401 before this. And Connor, I'm sure Connor can attest to, I was grumpy. And now that we're in our zone again and we're just sitting here in the shop and, I got a beer going here.
He called me and I'm like, hey, buddy. He goes, hey. I'm like, how's it going? He goes, good, I guess. He goes, I'm on my way home from Caledon. I'm on the highway. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you ready for the podcast? He goes, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
There we go.
It's so exciting. It gets us both amped up and yeah, we love it. And we love, I guess I'm just repeating myself, but we love it.
The support is amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. It warms the old heart.
Yeah,
the old ticker.
And honestly, I'm so glad that this week, like, you were able to kind of, you know, pick back up with your work. And that's what we're talking about, guys. Like, work gets slow. It happens. You know, you can do everything you want or everything you can to try. And for example, my event, let's talk about it. We've got some time left here. Let's talk about my event that I spent a fortune on advertising. Yeah. For those of you that knew, Cornish Entertainment just produced an event in Woodstock, Ontario called A Night Out at the Ranch. And most of my events are, I'm trying to keep the "a night out" as the prefix, because it just, it's kind of like a chain of events, and it has like a, it sticks with you. So when you hear "a night out," you think Cornish Entertainment, a good time, and then whatever the genre is or something to do with that. The first one we did, A Night Out in Oxford, which was in Norwich. It was a rock concert. It was a live band. It did quite well. And then we just tried one in Woodstock and out at the ranch. It was a bigger venue. I thought it was going to get bigger. Turns out it was smaller. It was a bust. It wasn't 100% bad.
A good learning experience.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there were so many great takeaways, and Connor and I have talked about that. And from a business perspective, there were highlights, like the fact that I gained, I think, 600 followers on Instagram. I had radio presence. We did a thing on Country 104 in London. Yep. I was also on Heart FM in Woodstock. So people now know, and they've heard, and they've seen my face. I'm sorry if you've seen my face a million times. It was pretty consistent. I was trying everything I could to, you know, I printed posters. I had 50 posters. A lot of them were in Woodstock. I had some in Norwich. There were some in Delhi. There were some in Simcoe. Tilsonburg, Woodstock, they were pretty much everywhere. Everything I think I could possibly have done to advertise, even months in advance, I did.
Yeah.
You know, I paid for extra advertising at the Woodstock Fairgrounds. They have a digital like sign out front. It was on there. My website, I paid for meta advertising on Facebook. It was a lot of money towards advertising. And I thought, because it was an 1,100 capacity person venue, I was like, oh, it's going to do great. Especially because I'm advertising in London area. And, you know, I think overall, all radio stuff, it was like 300,000 people that could have heard it.
Yeah.
And yet I only had like 100 people show up.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little over 100. Yeah. Just so for those of you that really want to know, it was not a profitable event. And yeah, it was just...
It's the whole aspect. You win some, you lose some, yeah, in the business aspect.
Like, the first one did well. Second one didn't. Guess what? I'm still going to do another one.
Yeah, you can't just give up.
No, I'm not giving up. It did hurt. It sucks. The way I saw it was just a really expensive way to advertise, I guess. But I just don't want those of you that have had and tried and failed to not try again.
Take those losses and turn them into wins by making them into a learning experience for yourself. It may be a curveball, a big or a small one.
Yeah.
There might be more or less emotions attached to that problem and repercussions.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you give up.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there are poor business choices out there to be made, and maybe ones that you may not want to make again.
Should not make again, for sure.
Right. But the reason I'm doing this again is because I've looked at the numbers from the last event, and I've looked at, based on statistics, the numbers of a future event. And the numbers are there. They're theoretically there on paper. I just have to make them happen in real life. So I got to figure out what is that I missed. One important thing I think was a takeaway was, maybe I won't do it in September again, the end of September, because there was, I forget, but well, first of all, there was a Jordan Davis concert happening in London.
Yeah.
Which is about 30 minutes out to 40 minutes, 45, from where my event was. But it was happening in London, which is where I did a lot of advertising. The problem is, I was planning this event 6 months in advance, and sometimes you don't know that this is going to happen until, or sometimes you actually, you can do all the research you want about what's happening that night. You don't know until like maybe a month before, yeah. But at a month before, you're so far in, you gotta keep going.
You
can't
back out. You gotta stick to that date.
Right. So, yeah. So it you take them and you lose them. But it certainly is not enough to make me give up. And I think mentally I would have been a lot worse off, but I've had a lot of good support people around me, like Connor and a lot of my other friends and, you know, just family members and that are just like, you know what, keep doing it. And we had people at that event. I had people come up to me on the stage. Like they walked right up on the stage and they said, look, we were actually on our way to, I think he said St. Catharines. He goes, my wife and I were on our way to St. Catharines last night to stay the weekend and go to an event. And then we heard you on the radio and we actually turned around right then and there and we went back home and we waited till tonight to come out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And he wasn't the only one. I think I had four other people come up to me that night and just say, this is amazing. Please do it again.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we're going to need some more people because I can't afford to keep losing money on these things. But
I think we should definitely look into like a fundraiser for sure.
Oh, a charity, you mean?
Or charity,
yeah,
sorry,
Connor and I have talked about starting a charity for trauma patients or trauma victims. Just due to some of Connor's past, we want to kind of help those that might have that in the future. And to kind of help, just to help out, I guess.
And it doesn't even have to be like in the same, like, not even close to what happened to me. It could be any type of trauma.
Car
or PTSD.
Accident. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be even a motorcycle accident. You'd be walking and get something hits you in the head.
You'd be walking and then you'd be don't.
Yeah. So it could be anything. Anything yeah. that could make or break your trauma experience, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. And business-wise, owning a charity, we did look into it. It can just help boost everything because from a business perspective, and of course, this is definitely not why we're in it, but like Connor and I have had a lot of really deep conversations outside of this. But removing that personal part from it and just looking at it from a business perspective, it can help boost numbers at an event if people think it's going to something other than just somebody. So people have this idea that I'm very selfish because I'm promoting an event that I profit from.
At the event, there was multiple people. I was standing at the door and, there was a big issue. And I walked out there and I'm like, guys, what is going on? And there was this group of people, say 8 or 10 people that were sitting there cussing at the younger workers of this event. And I just said to them, guys, this isn't fair. If you don't like what you're seeing, turn around and walk away.
Yeah, what? Everyone that was working there. Oh, my brother did sell tickets.
Yeah.
Was that what they were?
Yeah, and his friend that was at the front.
What was the issue there?
So they were like, oh, there's no cause? Well, I'm not coming in. I'm not paying that money to come in for nothing. I'm like, it's not for
nothing. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was me and Moody out there.
Yeah, so Brandon Moody did sponsor that event. Thank you, Brandon, and Moody's Asphalt Maintenance. My brother Noah was working at the door, with his friend and, they were paid for their services. And then they left at midnight. I will say like it wasn't directly for a cause. It was just for me, but this is the argument that I had to, cause I had to make a lot of arguments to a lot of people to make that event possible. And a lot of people said, what's the charity? What's the fundraiser? Like, where's the food? And I said, okay, if you go to a bar in London, okay, and there's specific bars that this event was very much like, I'm not going to name those bars. Yeah. If you know, you know. But if you go in there, first of all, there isn't any food. There's no caterer at a bar. Okay. First of all, second of all, the bar is there to profit for the bar.
Yep.
You're going in there, you're buying way overpriced drinks to support the bar.
Yep.
Okay. You're also paying a $5 cover charge for the bar. Okay. Everything you're doing in there is going for the bar. So when you come to my event, you're just giving the money to me instead, which it's not really me. It's my business, which yeah. I make profit from. The business pays me, but the business wants to make money so that the business can put more events on. So
do more for the community.
You know why I get paid? Because I put over like 100 hours into making that event possible. I was on the phone constantly all week long trying to find sponsorship. I was like trying to pick out a ticketing platform that would work.
Security
which
guards,
the ticketing
catering.
Platform let me down a little bit in the end anyways. Yeah, security, bartenders, which were so hard to find, by the way. That was a nightmare.
I almost had to get my smart serve just to
yeah,
work it.
Yeah, to rent the hall was over $3,000 to have the hall... and the hall was the ones that actually hired the security guards. And then the hall was the, like, I had to pay for the extra signage. I also have to pay for a liquor license. It costs me a huge premium yearly to have insurance for these things. Like, I understand that you don't like that the ticket price was $25, but my hours that I put in and what other people are putting in, like the bartender, everyone there was of working age, of legal working age,
yeah,
which I believe is 15 and up now.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone was. Like, there was nobody that wasn't allowed to be there. And as far as liquor licensing goes, I followed all the rules for liquor license. Like, everything was done perfectly. So when people complain about the pricing, I'm like, okay, but let me spend an hour and lie out for you what I did by myself exactly. to make this happen.
Yep.
Like, everything was just me. I was the one that, like, I had a bunch of sponsorship lined up, and then all of them backed out last minute. That was troubling. You know, there was a lot of, I'm just saying that there's things that happen why we make money. It's just my job. If I came into your office or your job or your place of work and I said, you know what? I don't like that you're profiting from everything that you've done today. Actually, you know what? We're not paying you anything today. It's going to charity.
Yeah.
You'd be so pissed. You'd be like, oh my God, I've worked so hard all day long and they're not going to pay me. I do that without guaranteed pay.
Yeah.
So it's really nice when people are just like, you know what? You're right. $25 plus alcohol tickets. It's not that bad. And they were only $5 drinks. Yeah. If I go to a bar in London, some of them are like $9.
If you want to get a shot, say like a Jaeger shot.
Yeah.
Or like a Jaeger bomb is like $12.
We have a buddy that lives in North Bay right now for school. And I think he told me it was like $11 for a beer once at a bar. And I was like, oh my God.
That's ridiculous.
It's gross. It's disgusting.
Can't get a buzz for under $100.
Right? So yeah, it's just, I'm not irritated. Like, it's just the way it works. But it's just something to keep in mind that when you fight somebody for their price, just think of what they are doing. And if you had to do that, what would you want to be paid? I guess that's a good takeaway here. Yeah. By the way, we're at an hour in a minute.
Oh, nice.
Same as we were last time when we stopped.
Perfect.
So do you have anything?
No, I think we did good.
Okay. And I think we did good.
Save it for the next one.
Yeah, we're full of knowledge here, guys. Anyways, and I just finished my beer, so.
Good.
That's that. Signing off. See you next week, everybody.
Sayonara.